This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show. Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Kyle Tucker to the Dodgers? What are we looking at, a three-peat now?
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
MLB, do something. Enough is enough.
Just like that. Tucker's second home run of the ball game.
Today's guests, NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero, Texans wide receiver Christian Kirk, Rams running back Blake Corum. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. If you're listening on ESPN Radio or Sirius XM Channel 80, we say hello to you. And I'll just let you know, I just literally mimicked almost step for step what you just saw as the show opened on Disney Plus and ESPN of roaming the hallways to sit down on the set. I'm so fired up, ready to go. I just needed one extra cup of coffee. Getting ready for a hot cup of Joe from my Rich Eisen Show mug. RichEisenShop.com if you want your own. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial right here on the program. Tom Pelissero, Tommy P, is going to join us with the latest on the coaching carousel and everything going on for the divisional playoff football weekend, getting set to start on Saturday. And also two players from the weekend, Christian Kirk of the Houston Texans. They're going to start Wild Card Sunday, coming off of that big Monday night win against the Steelers, taking on the Patriots and potentially a snow game in New England. We're keeping an eye on the weather. And then Blake Corum, Balake Corum, will join us from the Los Angeles Rams before he hops on a plane to go to chilly, windy, frigid Chicago, Illinois for that football game. So, and then I said, mentioned there's you, 844-204-RICH, number dial. Hello, Christopher Brockman. How are you, sir?
Rich, I'm excellent. January 4th, 2020. I've been waiting for this weekend since that day, and I cannot wait.
So, what's that date about? did you Google it, Chris?
That was Titans-Patriots. That was the last Patriot game for Tom Brady, and now we have our own Tom Brady.
Good to see you over there, sir.
Hey,
Jason
what's up,
Feller,
Rich?
What's going on?
Just living the dream.
Yeah, you and Kyle Tucker. What's up?
Wow.
What's up, TJ Jefferson? Good to see you over there.
I mean, I got nothing.
You know what you have, TJ?
Please tell me.
May I tell you what you have?
Yes.
You have what the rest of all us awesome, loving National Football League fans have.
What's that?
The best show in town. The greatest football weekend of the calendar year. The Final Eight.
That my team's not involved in.
Well, it's fine. Fine and dandy. You and three quarters of the National Football League fan base.
That's also a good point. Okay. So I'm not alone.
And also, on the back end of it, a national championship game. You could say the next 72 hours for football fans, sit back, kiss your loved ones goodbye, and sit down and crack one open. And that's basically what's come.
Crack several.
And I'll be there for you on NFL Network for a 4.5-hour pregame show on Saturday at 9 a.m. Eastern time. And then a 4-hour pregame show on Sunday at 8 a.m. Eastern time. I'm psyched because I get to sleep in a little bit on a Sunday.
I know.
It's great.
So basically people can't get enough of you is what you're saying.
But here's what I'm about to do. And I do this at the outset of National Football League season and also on the outset of the best football weekend, arguably, that there is in our football-loving nation. I'm requesting for my music.
Yes.
And I'm about to lay out for you.
Give him his music.
A preview of divisional football.
Let's go. Let's go.
Weekend.
Come on now.
In the National Football League.
I hear the chimes.
Playoffs. It all starts in Denver, Colorado. The Buffalo Bills at the Denver Broncos. The 6th seed at the 1 seed. Last year, the Broncos visited Western New York, took on the Bills, and got, to use the Michael Irvin phrase, spanked. Boy, did they ever. 31-7, the final score. In that game, the Bills had twice as many total yards and first downs as Denver had in the entire wild card game. A time of possession of 41 minutes and 43 seconds served to be the best such number of time of possession in the history of the Buffalo Bills in the postseason. They also had a 247-yard total yard advantage. That's the largest in a single game in Bills playoff history, the largest in an NFL playoff game since the Panthers had 308 yards of difference against Arizona in the 2014 wild card. However, this game will happen in Denver, Colorado, where the one-seeded Denver Broncos are getting set to host the 20th playoff rematch this century between teams that faced each other in the previous postseason. The same team, by the way, won both games in 13 of the previous 19 attempts. Let me be fair and balanced. However, give you this stat. The Bills are 1-7 all time against one seeds in the playoffs since the NFL began seeding by record in 1975. The only win was the 1992 divisional round at the AFC one seed Pittsburgh Steelers. That's it. Denver Broncos and their fans have not seen a playoff win since Bueller, Super Bowl 50.
Wow.
It's been 9 straight playoff losses for the Denver Broncos. As a matter of fact, the 9-season playoff win drought following a Super Bowl win is the 6th such longest streak of all time. Not a single playoff win in 9 seasons since winning Super Bowl 50. And of course, we all know where Super Bowl 60 is, where Denver won Super Bowl 50. This is going to be Sean Payton's attempt at winning as the one seed. He's the 5th coach in NFL history to lead multiple teams to the one seed. He did it with the Saints and now with the Broncos, joining Marty Schottenheimer, Andy Reid, Tom Coughlin, and Mike Holmgren in that. And you could see on the screen the guy he was talking to, Bo Nix. He has 24 quarterback wins in his first 2 seasons with a win. That he would come up with his 25th, the most of any other human being to play quarterback in the National Football League in their first 2 seasons since 1950. He's the 6th quarterback in NFL history to make each of his first 2 career playoff starts against the same opponent and same opposing starting quarterback. The Bills and Josh Allen standing in front of him again. All 6 lost the first matchup. The only one to win the rematch out of the previous 6. 5 of them went on to lose it. The only one to win it, Dan Marino in 1984, when he finally beat the Seahawks and Dave Craig on the way to his only Super Bowl appearance. One other nugget to keep in mind here as they move on, or couple, involves the defense of the Denver Broncos. This is only the 5th matchup in NFL history between the previous season's MVP and the Defensive Player of the Year in the playoffs. It's going to be Allen, Pat Surtain the second. He might not look in Pat Surtain's direction, but this is only the 5th matchup ever. The previous 2 have been in Super Bowls, by the way, won by the MVP. That would be Mahomes over Nick Bosa, and in 2018, Brady over Aaron Donald in the 2018 Super Bowl. On top of it, the Bills, just fresh off of somehow, some way, surviving the top rush defense in the National Football League in Jacksonville, now face the 2nd best pass rush defense in the National Football League. They can become just the 5th team in NFL history to defeat the top 2 rush defenses in a single postseason. Only the 75 Cowboys did it on the road in a single postseason against the top rush defense. Tony Dorsett. Can James Cook basically be the new Tony Dorsett? Bills, as we all know, trying to get to the Super Bowl and win it. And the Denver Broncos, as we know, trying to get back to the Super Bowl for the first time since winning their last postseason game. That kicks off divisional Saturday, leading to the San Francisco 49ers at the Seattle Seahawks. Would you believe this will be the first time in the history of the National Football League in which 2 teams play in week 1, week last of the regular season, and the playoffs? That's never happened before. Seattle, as we all know, faced San Francisco in week 1, and then the final week of the regular season, and now they face each other in the NFL playoffs. That's never happened. The Seahawks last played on January 3rd. Remember that date? That's how long ago it's been.
Wow.
They'll have 13 days of rest in between the games that they've last played and playing this weekend. The 49ers come in and play this game on 5 days rest. If you're wondering, since 1984, teams with 8 or more days of rest advantage against an opponent in the playoffs are 7-0. That's what the Niners are up against when they head up to Seattle. Now, the Niners are bringing in a team coached by Kyle Shanahan, as we know. In Kyle Shanahan's tenure as head coach of the San Francisco 49ers, when they make the playoffs, every single time they've made the NFC Championship game. That's it. As a matter of fact, the Niners have made at least the NFC Championship game in each of their last 7 playoff appearances. They're 7-0 in a wild card in divisional rounds under Kyle Shanahan. How about them apples? They've won 7 consecutive divisional round games, tied for the second longest win streak by any team in a single playoff round all time. Patriots have won 8 in a row. They're taking that streak into Sunday, but I get a little bit ahead of myself. Mike McDonald's Seattle defense, number one defense we know, shut down Kyle Shanahan's San Francisco 49ers last time they faced them. The last 2 teams to score 3 or fewer points in a regular season game and then face that team in the playoffs both won the playoff matchup. Back in 2022, Dallas lost to Tampa 19-3 in week 1 and then beat them in the wild card round. In 2020, Tampa Bay lost 38-3 to New Orleans in week 9 and then beat them in the divisional playoff round. In 2013, the Seahawks held the Niners to 3 points in week 2 and then beat them in the NFC Championship game. Here we go. Brock Purdy, Mr. Irrelevant, coming into this game. He can join Patrick Mahomes as the only starting quarterbacks to reach the conference championship in 3 of his first 4 National Football League seasons. He's 4 on the road. By the way, you know what he is in Seattle? 4-0. He's never lost in Seattle. The only other person who's had as many straight wins in Seattle in the history of the National Football League, Seattle Seahawks being in existence. His name is Dan Fouts.
He was good.
That's right. Purdy could break the tie with Dan Fouts, words I never thought I would say. But as we all know, this defense for the Seattle Seahawks is top-notch, if not one of the best, in the National Football League. They're absolutely crushing it and killing it. And all we need to get is a game out of Sam Darnold in which he doesn't turn it over, moves the ball down the field, and, oh, yeah, by the way, doesn't hurt the oblique that has him questionable on the injury report. What the heck, Sam Darnold?
In routes on air, just kind of felt a little something in my oblique. Just didn't want to push it. Wasn't the day to push it. So that was it. So just came inside, got some rehab, and feel like I'll be ready to go for Saturday.
Is this on like throwing side?
It's just on my left side. It is what it is. But yeah, again, like I said, felt it on a throw, but we'll be ready to go.
What percent of you think you might not play?
It's a very low percentage, probably closer to 0.
Probably closer to 0. Darnold is the 4th quarterback in NFL history to lead 2 different teams to the playoffs in back-to-back seasons. And here's the other names: Tom Brady, Warren Moon, Earl Morrill, and now Sam Darnold trying to get it done, not just for himself, for his first career playoff win, but for his draft class. If he wins and takes Seattle to the NFC Championship game, the 2018 draft class would join the 1983 draft class as the only class with 4 first-round quarterbacks that won a playoff game. Lamar, Josh Allen, and Baker have already done it. If Darnold does it, they would join the vaunted 83 combo of John Elway, Jim Kelly, Dan Marino, and Tony Eason. That's right, Jets fans. Ken O'Brien wasn't in that list. We'll move on to Sunday. Houston at New England. Sunday, divisional playoff weekend. Talk about 2 different franchises trying to get to the same point. The Patriots are looking to advance to, wait for it, their 16th AFC Championship game. 16 would tie them with the Cowboys and Steelers in terms of the most of all time, second place behind the 49ers. The Texans are one of only 4 active franchises to never reach a conference championship game. Only one of 4 teams to never appear in a Super Bowl all time. They're the only active franchise to have never appeared in a conference championship. New England's got 11 Super Bowls appearances, 3 more than any other team. The Patriots' wild card win against the Chargers was their first playoff win since Bueller, Brockman. Remember their last playoff win?
Super Bowl.
That's right. beating the Rams in Super Bowl 52. That's how long it's been. Meanwhile, the Texans won a playoff game last Monday, and they have won a playoff game in each of their first three seasons since hiring head coach DeMeco Ryans and drafting C.J. Stroud, the last combo to do that. Andrew Luck and Chuck Pagano, after Joe Flacco and John Harbaugh did it. The longest win streak in a single playoff round in NFL history belongs to the New England Patriots, bringing in eight straight divisional playoff wins, 2012 to the present day. The Texans have lost all six games that they played in the divisional round in team's history. Totally different, and yet both of them start young quarterbacks. In terms of playoff matchups between starting quarterbacks under the age of 25, C.J. Stroud and Drake May are the first such matchup since Brock Purdy and Jalen Hurts played in the NFC Championship game. Notice I didn't say finished that game. Lamar and Josh Allen, Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Brooks and Dante Culpepper are the only other such matchups this century. This will also be the third youngest combined age between opposing starting quarterbacks in a playoff matchup all time. The Purdy-Hurts combo, younger than Stroud and Drake May at 47 years and 248 days combined. The youngest was Russ versus RG3 back in the 2012 wild card days. Regardless of outcome, the 2025 playoff season will be the fourth consecutive season with a quarterback under the age of 25 starting in a conference championship game. That would tie the record of four straight of 84 to 87 when the 83 draft class started crushing it. The Texans have the number two ranked scoring defense, number one total defense. This will be the first time in May's career that he faces a team with a top five scoring and total defense entering the week. That has never happened. We shall see what happens when the Texans defense goes against the Drake May quarterbacked offense. And of course, we will have to keep an eye on the weather to see what happens in New England. Will old man winter, will Mother Nature level the playing surface with a bunch of snow that might create problems for that vaunted secondary of the Texans to plaster and that vaunted pass rush of the Texans to get enough traction and make some hay like the Steelers did against this offense last week, like the Steelers did against this Texans offense last week, or what they did against the Steelers defense, Steelers offense last week, or will we see C.J. Stroud have some trouble getting the snap in his hands? My goodness gracious.
Yeah.
That's easy for me to say as we lead to the final game of divisional playoff weekend. Want to talk about cold? Supposed to feel like zero. Could potentially even be winds of 20 to 30 miles an hour. It could potentially even be snow. Things that we don't see in Los Angeles, California.
Could travel to the mountains for that.
The Rams and the Bears are going to meet each other for the third time in the playoffs. Last time it happened, the 1985 NFC Championship game, the vaunted Bears defense shut out the Rams 24 to nothing. On that day, Sean McVay and Ben Johnson were not born.
Wow.
That's correct. Both of them were born in 1986. The Bears just won their first playoff game since 2010, while the Rams have advanced to the divisional round for the second consecutive season and the third time in five seasons since trading for Matthew Stafford. These two gents dialing up the offenses are part and parcel of two of the best in the National Football League in terms of the masterminds and young minds, Johnson and McVay. Are two of three head coaches all time to take over a team ranked last in total offense, which McVay did back in 2017, and lead them to the playoffs in his first season as its head coach. Ben Johnson did it this year again. The last coach to do it was Sean McVay in 2017. The Rams and Bears each ranked inside the top 10 in scoring and total defense, each ranked top three in big plays in 2025, which are rushes of 10 or more yards. Or completions of 20 or more yards. Sean McVay comes into this game with nine career playoff wins, four more than any other head coach all time before turning 40. You want to widen it out to anybody 45 or younger. He wins this one. He breaks a tie with John Madden and ties Don Shula for the all-time mark in that regard. While, wait for it, the most interesting wild nugget of the entire weekend, Sean McVay is coaching in his 15th career playoff game. The Bears are a 15th different opponent. He's never played the same opponent in, coached against the same opponent in the playoffs ever. And now Ben Johnson, as we all know, is trying to take the Bears to the NFC Championship game against An old foe. Matthew Stafford taking on the Chicago Bears for the 23rd time in his career. He's got 35 passing touchdowns against Chicago. That's the third most in the Super Bowl era, while also taking on a first overall pick in Caleb Williams. This will be the largest age difference between former number one overall picks in a head-to-head playoff matchup ever. Stafford is 5,033 days or 13 years and 284 days older than Caleb Williams. Fifth time Stafford has faced a number one overall quarterback in the playoffs. No other number one overall quarterback has participated in more than two such playoff matchups. And as you know, Stafford's doing it for a second consecutive week. He beat Bryce Young last week. Both Stafford and Williams are the kings of the fourth quarter, last second comeback game-winning drive. Both of them come into this game throwing a game-winning touchdown pass with under 2 minutes to go to lead the team to victory. We also do know the Bears like taking the ball away. We know that Stafford and this offense are bringing in a guy like Devontae Adams, who's used to playing in Soldier Field as well. And they also have Matt LaFleur's brother coordinating the offense going against Ben Johnson and the Chicago Bears. That's your setup for the divisional playoff weekend.
Let's go.
I'd love to kick it off right now, but instead I got to throw it a break. Tom Pelissero must have just shown up from an appearance on NFL Network because he's suited and booted.
Hey, he was doing work this morning.
Okay, that's what happens. Tom Pelissero, when we come back right here on the Rich Eisen Show, he is all ready to dispense information and also maybe serve a cocktail or two. Rich Eisen here. The tax deadline will be here before you know it, and you just want to know your taxes are actually being handled. But the old way? You hand everything off, and then silence. Days pass, weeks pass. You start wondering, should I send another follow-up email? It feels like you're chasing updates and getting nowhere. But now, taxes are different because your taxes are done for you by a TurboTax full-service expert. With Intuit TurboTax, you can match with your dedicated tax expert and hand off everything right in the app. And while your expert checks for every deduction, you'll see real-time updates on your phone so you always know exactly where things stand. Suddenly, you're not refreshing your inbox. You're going for a run, grabbing a coffee, scrolling anything other than a just checking in message, because your TurboTax expert is handling it and keeping you in the loop. So this tax season, get your best possible outcome and every dollar you deserve without the guesswork. Visit TurboTax.com today to learn more. Real-time updates only in iOS mobile app. Only available with TurboTax full service experts. Save money and get a better view of the road when you replace your worn-out wiper blades at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Right now, save $10 on a pair of Rain-X Latitude wiper blades. They feature beam blade technology to improve windshield contact for maximum visibility. The professional parts people will even install your new wiper blades for free. Choose Rain-X Latitude wiper blades at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store or online at O'ReillyAuto.com.
As you know, managing maintenance, repair, and operations is never easy. But for the ones who always rise to the challenge, Grainger has your back. From professional-grade products you can count on to fast, dependable delivery, they're there to help you keep things running smoothly. Plus, their technical product specialists are here to help answer your toughest questions. And because Grainger knows safety is always a priority, they're committed to being your partner in protecting both your people and your facilities. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by.
The Rich Eisen Show podcast.
The New York Giants head coach, but it is not and was not ever a foregone conclusion. We should have answers in the relatively near future. The Giants are optimistic that they are close to the finish line on this thing. And only then, Rich, when they actually cross the goal line, holding the ball and making sure this doesn't turn into a touchback, that they can actually celebrate what would be the biggest win for that franchise in a very long time.
Tom Pelissero joining us here on the Rich Eisen Show. Our radio audience just rejoined Tom, coming up with all the conditional phrasing he could muster about the John Harbaugh Giants contractual conversations, that it's not done yet. So let's ask you about Mike Tomlin. because I'm a little surprised by Rondé Barber, who absolutely would know, his statement on his own show saying that Mike Tomlin, he doesn't believe is ever going to coach again. Now, we haven't heard a single word except the report from The Athletic about how emotional it was for his players to receive the news from Tomlin. What's the general sense? Because we're certainly not hearing him about being available in this current coaching cycle, Tom. What's the general sense about what Mike Tomlin's next steps are going to be?
I would tell you that what Art Rooney said publicly accurately reflects what Mike Tomlin has told people privately, which is this was more a family decision than it was a football decision. He has not entered into any agreement to go to TV. He is not secretly, you know, going to do the old unretire in 2 weeks and try to come back with a different team. He truly intends to take time away. There have been teams that have checked in on Mike Tomlin, and they have been told the same thing, which is he does not intend to coach in 2026. We all know plans can change, Rich. If plans change with one of the most respected coaches in recent NFL history, there certainly would be teams that would have an interest in bringing in Mike Tomlin. The Steelers still have him under contract. It would have to be a trade at this time if they were to move down the road. Art Rooney has not spoken specifically on what that would look like, but there's precedent for it in terms of the Sean Payton trade a couple of years ago. That, though, occurred a year later after Mickey Loomis had hired Dennis Allen and gone through an entire year. There was a coach in place. And at that point, the way that Loomis approached it was, here's what historically these trades have been. It's a first-round pick and more. We are going to tell other teams, if you want Sean Payton, you got to agree that that is going to be the compensation. If you're on board with that, then you can talk to him about potentially going there. Sean made several different visits. He talked to Carolina. I believe he talked to Arizona. Ultimately, he talked to Denver and is now the head coach of the team that's the number one seed in the AFC. It is much more complicated to trade a coach who has just walked away. In other words, because of the contractual piece of this, because the Steelers have not even hired a coach, it would raise a lot of questions. And Art Rooney, as he said, would have to cross that bridge when you come to it. It doesn't sound like we're there right now with Mike Tomlin. I can't tell you what the future holds. I did not personally see a guy on the sideline, the way that he interacted with players, beating his chest after that win right there over the Ravens, who looked like he is just done and he's out of gas. He felt it was time for a change for himself, for the Steelers organization. How will he feel in 2027? We don't know, but he's a very competitive guy. He's going to need an outlet for that. And certainly one of the driving storylines over the next year will be, will Mike Tomlin come back to the NFL? And if so, who potentially, who's coaching in 2026, could end up having their job taken by a guy who's coached 19 seasons and never had a losing one?
What is happening with Matt LaFleur in Green Bay right now, Tom?
There have been extensive discussions about a contract extension. That was the plan going into this phase of the offseason. That was the plan even before the game in Chicago. That probably, frankly, didn't make things easier in terms of the negotiation. The fact that not just did they lose that game, but the way they lost that game. I would repeat something I know I told you, Rich, a week or two ago, which is Matt LaFleur at 46 years old in the middle of his coaching career is not just, I would fairly say, if you poll people around the NFL, a top 10 head coach. He's also a top 5 play caller in the NFL. So if you moved on from Matt LaFleur, you would have to essentially replace both positions. The Packers recognize that. They do not want Matt LaFleur going anyplace else. The question has been about what is the level of the commitment? What are the contract numbers? Where should Matt LaFleur rightly fall among other head coaches in the NFL at a time that the market is exploding? If Matt LaFleur would become available, there would be no shortage of teams that would be lining up to hire him. There's already 8 vacancies. There would be a strong chance that Matt LaFleur would be a candidate for the majority of those vacancies. But there's still several steps here. Can they work out a deal? That's been the focus for both sides. If they can't, then the options are he coaches out 2026 and then becomes a free agent. You could attempt to trade him, which, again, complicated things. The coach has to be on board. It's not like players. You can't just send him wherever. Like, he'd have to agree to a new deal with that team in order to work out the compensation. or you fire him. I don't see that being an option. I don't see the Packers firing Matt LaFleur. I believe Matt's preference is to be in Green Bay and to continue to compete in that division with a roster that he loves. He's developed two quarterbacks there, not just Jordan Love, but Malik Willis. He won games with Malik Willis. Matt's built something in Green Bay. He has lived up to the standards they have at Lambeau Field. He just has not put the Lombardi Trophy in the case yet. Can they find a path forward? I anticipate we'll get answers in the not-too-distant future on that. We'll see exactly how the rest of this plays out. But that's where they've been throughout this week, Rich, is trying to figure out if they can find a path forward, do an extension that locks in Matt LaFleur for multiple years to come.
Well, I think you make an excellent point, Tom, in the fact that he's not just a head coach, he's also the play caller. And I appreciate you multitasking right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Do you need to return that text?
We're good. Okay. We're good. Yep.
Just tell me if there's...
I'm listening.
No, I understand.
I got one ear on you. I'm typing, but I do hear you.
Tom,
telling me what I need to make for dinner tomorrow.
I'm used to this, Tom, because this is the way I talk to my children. You know, honestly, their faces are in their phones, and I'm like, "Are you hearing me?" All right. So it's an interesting point that you make about that. LaFleur is the offensive coordinator and play caller as well as the head coach. And in that regard, there's a ton of OC jobs open where the candidates are also applying for head coaching jobs. How do you see this playing out? Do the head coaching gigs need to be filled first? Or is there going to be somebody who's also talking about a head coaching job saying, you know what, I kind of dig this OC gig more, and they're going to jump in and turn down a head coaching job? What's the timing on all of this for the Lions fans and the Chargers fans? All of them were wondering who their next offensive coordinator is going to be, just as an example.
It's a great point, because I honestly have had multiple conversations today with coaches in the NFL, some of whom are on lame duck staffs. Remember, over a quarter of the league fired their head coach. So you currently have 9 staffs. Some of the owners have given those people permission to interview for other jobs.
Right.
Other owners, GMs, have said, we're holding on to you until we get the next guy. We're not just going to let our staff get raided. So people start to get antsy, but it is January 16th. We can't even do the in-person interviews with currently employed coaches until Monday. And so what I've been telling everyone is just exercise some patience here, because you're talking about the OC jobs that are open, Rich. So we've got Tampa, Detroit, the Chargers, the Eagles. The Chiefs don't have Matt Nagy under contract. The Commanders already hired David Blough, promoted him from within, and that's because Detroit was willing to hire Blough, who used to be a quarterback there. So that's 6. You have 9 staffs, that's 15. Mm. You can count on 2, 3, 4 offensive coordinators getting jobs. Now all of a sudden you're talking about 17 to 19 new offensive coordinators in 2026. There is so much movement that needs to take place. And one thing that you're seeing, this has become more commonplace in recent years, is teams conducting head coaching interviews with candidates that realistically are probably more likely to be offensive or defensive coordinator candidates. Take Tennessee, who now, I believe, as of the end of this weekend, will have interviewed like 18 candidates, 13 or 14 of which are former NFL, or in the case of Jeff Hafley, college head coaches. So it's very clear they are prioritizing experience. They want people who have done it. Is Brian Daboll really going to be the head coach of the Tennessee Titans? Is Jonathan Gannon going to be the head coach of the Tennessee Titans? In both cases, with respect to those guys, I would say probably not, but they certainly, in Daboll's case, could be the OC, and Gannon is going to be a hot defensive coordinator candidate. Mike McDaniel is interviewing. He's interviewed for 4 head coaching jobs so far. I believe there's going to be a 5th interview for Mike McDaniel. He simultaneously has interviewed for the Lions offensive coordinator job, and I believe that between the Eagles, the Bucks, the Chargers, there's a bunch of teams that would like to hire Mike as their OC as well. So those decisions you're talking to are real things that need to be worked through here. But because there are so many OC jobs out there, and there are so many of the candidates for those jobs that also are interviewing for head coaching jobs, the coordinator jobs are probably going to fill a little bit more slowly. In other words, a Mike McDaniel is going to want to know he doesn't have a head coaching opportunity before he just goes and jumps and takes, let's say, the Lions offensive coordinator job. These are all moving parts, Rich. There are, of course, issues under the Rooney Rule in terms of qualifying interviews that need to take place before you can hire. The only 3 teams that as of today can hire their head coaches are the Giants, the Titans, and the Falcons. those teams are in position to move swiftly as we get through this weekend and into the start of next week. But a lot of teams have an interest in at least speaking to some of those candidates that by rule, if you are employed by an NFL team, you can't interview until this coming Monday. They at least want to go through that portion of the process. I believe that you will see the hires really pick up, probably not Monday, but as we get into the middle to end of next week, you could see a bunch of these vacancies fill.
All right, Tom, before I let you go, Sam Darnold's oblique, what the heck? That's a simple question.
Two sides to this. So Sam Darnold feels something.
You mean of his body?
Or you're yes, he's got two obliques, I believe. I'm not even sure what
an
oblique is.
Sorry, I didn't mean to go dad joke on you or you're dispensing information. Sorry.
I like that. Yeah, oblique has many different definitions. He felt something in his side throwing the football in practice yesterday. He pulled himself out of practice. He talked with reporters, and when he was asked about the percent chance that he doesn't play, he basically said it is near zero.
Right.
That's not a surprise. I believe that Sam Darnold, barring some type of a setback, will be able to play tomorrow night against the 49ers. But oblique injuries always are concerning when you're talking about a quarterback. It is much like a pitcher in baseball. Oblique injuries in baseball, that guy's going on the 15-day disabled list, right? Because of the torquing motion, the way that you're – it's the pain tolerance and the fact that you can make something like that worse. And so this is a situation where, again, barring some type of setback, I'm not under the impression that Sam Darnold is not going to be able to go, but it's going to be worth keeping an eye on how functional is he? Is he in pain? Are there things that they can do to numb him prior to the game? It's a muscle injury. And so inevitably, if you tweak that thing the wrong way, you're going to be feeling it in the game. It's not what the Seahawks wanted to be dealing with as they get set for, you know, probably the biggest home playoff game that they've had since the Legion of Boom over a decade ago. So keep an eye on it over these next 24 plus hours here. They'll continue to monitor. He'll receive treatment. I believe that he is going to be able to play, but he's listed as questionable. We just have to see exactly what that looks like against the 49ers defense that, despite all the injuries, Robert Saleh has had humming and attacking people this entire season.
And then what other injuries should we keep an eye on? Nico Collins in the concussion protocol. Same thing with Christian Gonzalez, just as a for instance. What else you got for me for the entire weekend before I let you go, Tom?
Do not believe that you're going to have Nico Collins on the field. He's not practicing again today. Based on the concussion protocol, you kind of got to progress from limited to full and then get clearance from the independent neurologist before before you're able to be cleared.
Right.
They're running out of time with Nico Collins. I don't believe that he's going to play. They'll probably rule him out today. Christian Gonzalez, on the other hand, went from limited on Wednesday to full on Thursday.
There you go.
That's a very positive sign. As of this morning, I was told he is still in the concussion protocol, but that's stage five. Once you get past full participation, which is clearance by the independent neurologist, is the last step. If that comes today, which is probably when he'll see the doctor, or as late as tomorrow, he'll be available, which would be huge, obviously, for a Patriots team that, you know, as much as they're going to have to deal with that Texans defense, the Texans offense, if C.J. Stroud can handle a snap this week, they can be dangerous as well.
Tom, thanks for the time, man. You're free to go. Appreciate it. We'll chat over the weekend on NFL Network, obviously. Take care, buddy.
Sounds good, Rich. Thanks.
That's Tom Pelissero. Multitasking is only he
can. See you, buddy.
Right here on the Rich Eisen Show. That's odd that the Texans, one of their best players, is not going to be fine, but the Patriots do have one, and then weather might come and level the playing field for on behalf of the Patriots in their home.
I'm sorry you're so broken.
That's really weird.
Fan.
That's really, really, really weird. That doesn't happen for New England. So it's an interesting break for them. All right, we'll take a break right here on the Rich Eisen.
I don't like your tone, Rich Eisen.
It's not a tone. I'm just telling you. Good for you.
I don't like your tone.
Okay, it's a break. Christian Kirk, by the way, joining us in hour number two.
New Year, same extra value meals at McDonald's. So now get two snack wraps plus fries and a medium soft drink for just $8.
For limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California and for delivery.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH being the number to dial. Give us a call, we'll have a chat. Christian Kirk, hour number two. Hour number three, Blake Corum.
Blackie.
What's more likely? Coming up. I've got a top five list.
Oh.
And do you know what it is yet? Or did I tell you what it is?
Well, there's only four games, so it can't be anything.
Can't be the usual of me, top five games I'm looking forward to.
No, I don't know. I'm anxiously awaiting.
Coop came up with it, so it was a great idea, and I decided to employ it.
There you go.
That'll be later on. Sitting around last night, And I hear Kyle Tucker signs with the Los Angeles Dodgers. And my first thought was, I really can't say anything as a Yankee fan since birth. You know, Cooper texted me, couldn't believe it. He's pissed, as the rest of the free baseball world is, that the team that, you know, is already top of the food chain with all of their stars, half of them deferring their salary like it's the, like they got a deferred comp policy there in Los Angeles, which allows them to go ahead and give Kyle Tucker 4 years, $240 million. By the way, he's deferring $30 million of it. And kind of want to say to him, listen, I can't complain because back in the day, Steinbrenner had more money than most, and the Yankees built quite a team. That's why I'm a Yankee fan, because they started winning when I was 6, 7 years old, an impressionable young man in Staten Island, New York. So can't really say very much, but that would make for any good TV or radio. So screw it. I think this stinks. I think it absolutely stinks. The only thing that actually gave me pleasure was Steve Cohen was tweeting out, hey, white smoke's going to come out of Queens, and whoop, got egg on his face, until he signs Bo Bichette this morning.
Yeah. No egg.
Yeah. Which is, you know, good for you. That'll be great.
I don't. Why do you say it like
it's
that?
It's good for you. It's great.
Am I wrong on it? He's like, eh.
No. Soto's got a running mate now, along with Lindor, and it's heck of a signing. He's pretty damn good.
I don't know, man. It's just your tone right now tells me you're not happy for me.
But at some point, you know, spot track. I think it's not spot track, right? It's
we
spot
always
track.
Have that conversation.
Spot track.
It's like GIF and GIF.
Yeah.
The Dodgers have committed on their books
a lot
of guaranteed money to baseball players. Including all the deferred stuff.
Oh, yeah.
$2.1 billion.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Is that even legal?
It is.
It's a lot, bro.
It is. It is.
Smith
and talk. So, you know, what are you going to do? Now, the only thing that I could sit here and say is that even with all of that for the Dodgers last year, they needed everything to go their way.
Yeah.
In order to stave off the Toronto Blue Jays, who, by the way, are third on the list of most committed guaranteed dollars.
Yeah, they're spending.
You know who's two? Padres. Yeah. Padres are two. So it's not like the usual have-nots unable to keep up with the haves. I don't know. But it's, once again, the Dodgers world. We're all paying rent. I don't even know. Where does Tucker hit? Fourth, fifth, sixth? Is that where he goes? You know what I mean? That's how it's going to happen.
Was he even good? He wasn't even that good, though, the second half of last year.
They're paying him $60
million. That is insane.
A year. Which makes the Soto deal look like a mere bag of shells. Looks like it's cheap.
Yeah, I would have signed that deal, too, if I was him.
I'm glad we
who,
got
Kyle Tucker?
Shit.
Yeah. He also gets to opt out year two and year three.
Yeah.
Also. So the Dodgers are like, we'll give you opt-outs. We'll pay you $60 million a year. We'll give you signing bonus of $64 million. You want to defer $30 million so you got a nice little 401k plan for yourself? Great. Why wouldn't you sign that sort of thing? To be with the back-to-back champion Dodgers with this,
exactly.
An outstanding manager who's not, you know, going to treat you anything but like a person and an adult.
And get to play with quite possibly the greatest player of all time.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of crazy. I keep mentioning it. Last year, Ohtani on first. It was Ohtani on second, Betts on first, Freeman hits one in the gap, and they're all running. They have as a shot from behind home plate, watching the base paths move of Ohtani come around, Betts first to third, and Freeman go to second. And all of that, sat there and think, like, is that $1 billion on the base pass?
Easily.
Well, I think it was.
And so, again, you know, baseball fans, it'll be, you know, up for you to vote with your remotes or your feet or whatever, or you're going to sit there and root against your Dodgers. You know, I don't know, but it's honestly, it was the Yankees in the 70s and the 80s and the 90s. And now it's the Dodgers of the now, where they have more money than they know what to do with. They're willing to spend it. And they're also able to spend more money than they know what to do with, because a bunch of players are like, we'll take it 10 years from now. We don't care. So you're down underneath the luxury tax. You can use it to your advantage. And I just hope Bo Bichette's healthy for you. That's all. Because last year, I mean, he could rake, and then he was limping around the bases. I imagine he'll be just fine.
You kind of got to wonder, man, when he hit that three-run homer off Ohtani, like, had they won, what his present would look like, you know?
He
wouldn't be a Met.
He's awesome. I don't know. Maybe he would be. Maybe he would be. I don't know. The Blue Jays are still spending like crazy. And at some point, you know, Brian Cashman's alarm will go off. Same thing with your Red Sox over there, but you did sign Rangers.
Yeah, we did get Rangers Suarez, which is great.
So you got two nice lefties coming out to start baseball hot stove heating up.
The Rich Eisen Show podcast.